in the place which Jehovah will choose. For Jehovah your God will bless you in all your produce and in all your undertakings. Therefore you shall be nothing but joyful.
Saints, this weekend I hope you would be nothing but joyful. We're here to feast on our God. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were required to appear before Jehovah in Jerusalem 3 times a year, and they were to bring the produce of the land that they had labored on, the riches of the land. All the Israelites were allotted a portion of the good land, and the good land we know was very rich. In Deuteronomy, it says it was full of pomegranates and rivers and brooks and wheat and barley, all these wonderful items of produce in the good land. And so the Israelites were to labor on that land and bring something of the produce to these feasts 3 times a year to share and enjoy with one another the riches of the land. Well, this is just a picture of how we should be those who labor on our wonderful Lord Jesus, to experience him and enjoy him day by day, to produce something of the unsearchable riches of Christ that we can share with one another. And we know that the good land in the Old Testament is a type of Christ, because in Colossians, Paul says that we give thanks to the Father who has qualified us for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. So just as the Israelites were allotted a portion of the good land, each one of us have been allotted a portion of this wonderful Christ for us to experience and enjoy. And not only that, but Paul says that we have been rooted in Christ, and we have been grounded in Christ, and we are being built up in him. So these verses show that Christ is our good land, okay? And so we should labor on this Christ, endeavor to enjoy him and experience him day by day, because every meeting that we come to, okay, the Israelites had these feasts 3 times a year. But do you realize in the New Testament age, every meeting of the church that you go to, wherever the saints are gathered together, whenever two or three are gathered into my name, there I am, the Lord said. Every meeting of the believer should be a wonderful feast where we enjoy our rich Christ with one another. You know, Paul, he preached an incredible gospel in Ephesians. He says that it was that he had received grace from God to announce the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. Can you imagine? He didn't announce the gospel for forgiveness of sins merely, but it says that he announced the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. The gospel that Paul preached was to present this wonderful Lord Jesus to every human being. So, and it's unsearchable riches. He didn't even say to present the riches of Christ. He said to present the unsearchable riches of Christ. That means no matter how long you experience him, how long you enjoy him, there are more riches to experience and enjoy. Amen. They're unsearchable. The depths are just unlimited. We will be enjoying our wonderful Christ for all of eternity. This is marvelous. So God's requirement of his people in Deuteronomy 16:15 is that you should be nothing but joyful. Amen. Again, showing that God wants his people to be happy and satisfied in him. All right, so I pray this will be our experience this weekend. Ephesians 3:8. Oh, yeah, look at that. I got ahead of myself. Let's have the sisters read Ephesians 3:8. Hallelujah. What a gospel Paul preached, the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, I hope we would turn many of these words on these outlines this weekend into small prayers. And so it's very easy. Let me demonstrate. Lord, cause me to experience the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. It's very easy to turn your heart to the Lord and to turn the words of the Bible into your prayer. This is a wonderful way to eat the Lord and to drink the Lord, as the other brothers will share with you throughout the rest of the weekend. I hope we'd pray many small prayers to enjoy the Lord this weekend. Okay, so we've seen that we may have some natural religious concepts that we need to be saved from. and that it is God's intention and desire that we would enjoy him. And we've seen a scriptural basis for this. So now we want to see how can we enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ. How? Because again, we don't want to be those who are merely studying about this weekend. We don't merely want to study about how God becomes man's enjoyment. We want to experience how God becomes man's enjoyment. And we want to be those who enjoy God. Because again, this will fulfill God's eternal purpose. So we enjoy God by eating him as the tree of life. So we're going to see a couple lines in the Bible. You know, there are many lines in the Bible that you can trace from the beginning to the end. And one of these lines is the line of the tree of life. And so we'll see some verses that demonstrate this. In Genesis 2:9, we read earlier, out of the ground Jehovah God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, as well as the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So again, demonstrating how God wanted man to eat him, not to follow a lot of rules and regulations, not to be a religious person, not merely to be a moral, ethical person. Didn't give man a lot of rules and regulations to follow. He said, take care of what you eat. Of those trees in the garden, you may freely eat all of them except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of course, his desire is that man would eat of the tree of life, which is actually, again, a picture of God in Christ to be our life. So we're going to see this, that the tree of life is actually the Lord Jesus. Can you believe that? Back in Genesis, the tree of life is a picture of the Lord Jesus. We're going to see this from the Word. So brothers, read John 15:1. So the Lord said he was the true vine, and his Father is the husbandman. So the Lord is a vine, okay? And later on in John, he said, we are the branches of that vine. Okay, so he's a vine. But what about John 14:6? Sisters, read this.
I am the way, the reality, and the life.
So he is the way, the reality, and the life. When you combine these portions of the Word, you see that the Lord is the life, and that he is the vine. And this vine was a vine tree that branched out and spread out throughout the entire inhabited earth. So the Lord is the life, and he is the vine tree. He is the tree of life. And we know that this tree of life was a vine tree because I'm just going to skip ahead a little bit to Revelation 22:2, which is two verses right above D. It says, on this side, this is speaking in the New Jerusalem, on this side and on that side of the river was the tree of life, producing 12 fruits, yielding its fruit each month. So the tree of life is a line throughout the entire Bible, beginning in Genesis, culminating in Revelation. This says that the tree of life is on this side of the river and on that side of the river. How can the tree of life be on this side of the river and that side on the river? Probably because the tree of life is a vine tree, right? On this side of the river, on that side of the river. Of course, we have to be careful because these are pictures. Again, these are pictures. It's not a physical, literal tree, but it's a picture of the Lord Jesus, who is the real tree of life. He is the true vine, and he is the life. He is the tree of life. And in Exodus 15:22, this is a really marvelous verse for our experience. So let's have the sisters read Exodus 15:22. Jehovah showed him a tree. Amen.
And he cast it into the waters.
And the waters became sweet. Hallelujah. This is really precious. In the Israelites' journey in the Old Testament, they came to this place called Marah, which means bitterness. And the waters there were bitter, so they called it Marah. And they were thirsty, so they cried out to Jehovah. And Jehovah showed Moses a tree. And Moses cast that tree into the bitter waters, and the bitter waters became sweet. So what does this mean for us? Well, in 1 Corinthians, we are told, Paul tells us that everything in the Old Testament, in addition to revealing our wonderful Lord Jesus to us, everything was written about them as an example to us. So the things in the Old Testament, they apply to us and they pertain to us. Okay, and so many times in the human life, we encounter situations where there's a lot of bitterness, right? Inexplicable things may happen to us. The human life, unfortunately, is fraught oftentimes with suffering and trials and tribulations and bitterness. And so many of us, I'm sure, have experienced these situations. Well, the solution to those bitter situations, when you cry out to Jehovah, He will show you a tree. He will show you a tree, and you cast that tree into the bitter waters, and the bitter waters will become sweet. The tree, again, is a picture of Christ. Christ is the real tree of life, and Christ is the tree in this picture in Exodus 15. And so that means when we take this wonderful Christ into our bitter situations, just by coming to Him, just as we are, being real with Him, being genuine with Him, we don't have to pretend with Him. In Revelation, it says that He is the knower of the hearts of men. He knows our inward condition. He's our creator. It says that He formed us in our mother's womb. So He made each one of us in a very particular way. He knows our condition. He knows our situation. So we don't have to pretend with Him. We can come to Him just as we are, be real with Him. And then when we do that in those bitter situations, He will say, take me into your situation, and the bitter waters will become sweet. Okay? Your situation may not change. Things may not get better outwardly, but there is an inward supply to bear what you are going through. So may the Lord cause us to experience many instances where bitter waters become sweet. Okay? Song of Songs 2:3, going on. Let's have this. Brothers, read Song of Songs 2:3.
And the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. In his shade I delighted and sat down, and his fruit was sweet to my taste.
If you are not yet convinced that the Lord Jesus is the tree of life, we have yet another verse to demonstrate. Here, the Shulamite, the seeking one, says of her beloved, who is the Lord Jesus in this book, that her beloved is as an apple tree among the trees of the wood. Again, the Lord Jesus is likened to a wonderful tree bearing delicious fruit for us to partake of and enjoy. And this is a really sweet experience that the Shulamite has of the Lord Jesus, because she says, in his shade I delighted and sat down. So she was in the Lord's presence. The Lord was there as an apple tree, providing some shade for her to have some covering, some rest, some delight and satisfaction. In his shade I delighted and sat down, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Dear saints, every time we come to the Word of God, we are coming to an apple tree. We are coming to our Lord Jesus, who is the apple tree, and we should sit down in his shade. That is, we should be in his presence, turning our heart to him, coming to him just as we are. And we should say, Lord, I like to delight in your presence, and give me some fruit that will be sweet to my taste. This is what the Lord wants to be to us and do for us. He wants to be an apple tree in whose shade we can delight, and whose fruit is sweet to our taste. So some of the other brothers will share later on about pray reading the Word and enjoying the Lord in the Word. And I look very much forward to, you'll hear some more about this. Okay, Revelation 2:7. Let's have sisters read Revelation 2:7. So the Lord's reward to the overcomers here in Revelation 2 is that they are given to eat of the tree of life. This shows again the centrality and the importance of eating the tree of life in the Christian life. You have at the beginning in Genesis, the Lord presenting himself as the tree of life to the believers. And then in eternity future, in Revelation, the Lord again giving the believers to eat of the tree of life. So this is very important in the Christian life. We should be those who eat of the tree of life. Revelation 22:2, we read more about the tree of life. Let's all read Revelation 22:14 together. Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have right to the tree of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, point D. So we've seen how the Lord is the tree of life to us. We can enjoy him by coming to him as the tree of life and the tree, the apple tree. Now we can enjoy God by drinking him as the river of water of life. Jeremiah 2:13. Sisters, read this. This verse is very enlightening because Jehovah reveals himself to his people as the fountain of living waters. You know, a fountain of living water is not meant to be studied. A fountain of living water is meant to be, what's the past tense of drunk? Drank? 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 Drunk. The fountain of living waters is meant to be drank or drunk, whatever it may be. Drunk from. There we go. Thank you. So the Lord is the fountain of living waters. Listen, this is an aspect of our God that he revealed to his people in the Old Testament. He is the fountain of living waters. And it is evil in his sight to not enjoy him as the fountain of living water. Because we were created as vessels, we have an innate need, and it is unavoidable, that we must receive something into our being constantly. Paul tells us in Romans 9 that we are vessels and that the Lord is potter. And so he made some vessels of mercy. And these vessels are us. The vessels of mercy are those who receive the God of mercy. And so we need to receive him as the fountain of living waters. So these vessels are created to receive the fountain of living waters and then to flow this living water out to others to quench their thirst. Okay, Psalm 36:9, let's have the brothers read this.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light.
Again, the Lord is the fountain of life. We come to him to drink of him as the fountain of life. And then the Lord speaks of this. So we got a couple verses in the Old Testament. And the Lord speaks of this in John 4:14. Let's all read this together. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever, but the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up unto eternal life. So the Lord was there for a thirsty Samaritan woman in John 4. That she would drink of him as the water of life, and that this water would become in her a fountain of living water springing up unto eternal life. So, dear saints, the day that you first drank of the Lord Jesus, who is the life-giving spirit in your spirit, there was a fountain of living water, who is God himself, as we have seen, installed in your being. Okay? This is what this verse says. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall by no means thirst forever, but the water I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. So there is a fountain of living water installed in your spirit. You can drink from it anytime, anywhere, regardless of what you're doing or what you're going through. John 7:37-39, let's have the sisters read this. Living water. Amen.
This he said to
concerning the Spirit. Amen. So the Lord said we can come to Him and drink, okay? And then out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this He said concerning the Spirit. So to drink of Him is to enjoy Him as the Spirit. You know, the Bible reveals that the Lord Jesus has gone through a process. God has become processed. He's gone through a process to make Himself utterly available to every human being. And His process is revealed in the Bible. He was incarnated to be a man. He lived on the earth 33 and a half years. He was crucified to deal with every negative thing that separated the holy and righteous God from fallen, sinful people. He terminated sin. He terminated Satan. He dealt with the old creation. He paid the penalty for our sins and our sinful nature. And so He cleared every obstacle, every block and barrier that separated us from God. But in resurrection, He became the life-giving Spirit. And now as the Spirit, He can flow Himself into man. He could be the river of living water in man. And so we can drink of Him as the Spirit. So this verse says that we drink Him as the river of water of life. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:13. Let's all read this together. For also in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all given to drink one Spirit. Hallelujah, we can drink one Spirit. Praise the Lord, we are drinkers. And so as you can, as you have experienced already, if you are new, to, if this is the first college conference that you've been to, we sometimes can be a noisy bunch. Right? We like to open our mouth and say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
And we're like, amen. And we like to open our mouth and say, I love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And hallelujah. And we declare things from the hymns, right? Well, that's because just as in the physical realm, in order to enjoy a marvelous feast, that is, in order to eat and drink, that requires your mouth. So too, to receive of the process triune God, to receive Him as a rich, marvelous feast and the river of water of life requires us to use our mouth. And so we can drink of Him by saying, Lord, I want to drink of You.
Amen.
I turn my being to You and I open to You.
Amen.
Give me a drink of the river of water of life. So this says we were given to drink one Spirit. And this is a kind of a sidebar, but this verse is incredible, saints, because this verse shows that you have been mingled with the triune God. You have been mingled with the triune God. Okay? It says, in one Spirit we were baptized. So when you were baptized, you weren't just put into some physical water. Actually, that is what was going on in the physical realm, but there was a spiritual reality behind your baptism. And that spiritual reality is that you were put into the Spirit. You were put into the triune God. So you have been baptized in the Spirit into one body. So you're in the Spirit. But then it says that we drink of the Spirit. So the Spirit gets in us. So on the one hand, we've been put into the Spirit. We're in the Spirit. On the other hand, the Spirit gets put into us. So we're mingled with the triune God. We're mingled with the Spirit. We drink of Him. It's so easy to call on His name and enjoy Him because we have been mingled with Him. And He's as available as the air in this room. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10:4. Let's all read this together. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. So in the Old Testament, as the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness, they became thirsty, as we have seen. And so they cried out to Jehovah and to Moses. And Moses was told to strike the rock. And out of that rock there flowed living water to quench the thirst of their people. And so the Lord Jesus was that rock that followed them through the wilderness. So they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of a spiritual rock which followed them, which rock was Christ. So this Christ has been smitten on the cross, and living water has flowed out. Remember in John, when His side was pierced, out came blood and water. Blood was for our redemption, so we can be forgiven of our sins, cleansed of our sins. The water signifies the divine life that can be imparted into human beings. So out came blood and water. He is the rock that was smitten for us on the cross. So now we want to see a few practical ways on how to enjoy God, having seen that we need to be saved from our natural religious concepts of just trying to be a good person, and that we should instead eat the Lord as the tree of life and drink him as the river of water of life. We want to see a few practical ways on how to enjoy God. Let's read Proverbs 11:25 together. The blessing soul will prosper, and he who waters will also be watered himself. So to water someone is to minister Christ as life to them. So when you speak the word to someone, you water them. And when you water them, the word's promise to you is that you will be watered. Right? It says, he who waters will also be watered himself. So I pray that the Lord would make each one of us waterers that minister this wonderful heavenly drink, the life-giving spirit, to one another, so that we too can be watered. So if you haven't begun to share the Lord, you know, with the ones that the Lord has placed around you, you don't have to give a message. You don't have to give a message. You just minister Christ. Whatever you have enjoyed of him in the word, you just share a little something that waters someone. I was reading something with my brother recently, and he just read a couple sentences that he underlined, that the Lord is the life-giving spirit, he's in our spirit, and that he's available. Just a couple sentences, nothing, you know, incredible and fantastic, although actually it really is incredible and fantastic, but just a little something that watered me for days. That one speaking of what he had enjoyed watered me for days. Saints, don't despise the day of small things. Begin to practice to speak Christ to one another, and you yourself will be watered, okay? The blessing soul will prosper. He who waters will also be watered himself. Okay, Isaiah 12:3-6. Therefore you will draw water with rejoicing from the springs of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to Jehovah, call upon his name. Okay, so in these verses, we're going to see several ways to practically enjoy the Lord, okay? It says you draw water with rejoicing from the springs of salvation, and one way is to give thanks to Jehovah. So thank you, Lord Jesus, right? You're driving in traffic. It's gridlock. You're not moving very fast. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. I tell you, you may be frustrated outwardly, but immediately you just take a drink of this living water. And you're satisfied. And then you start praying for the ones around you. Lord, save that person. Lord, I hope that person will open to you and get saved. It's really wonderful. So give thanks to Jehovah. Amen. Give thanks to Jehovah. This is a way to draw water, okay, to drink of the river of living water. Second way, call upon his name. So the Lord has given us his name. And in Romans 10, it says the Lord is rich to all who call on his name. So when you lose yourself and forget about yourself and become a caller on the Lord Jesus, which I hope each one of you will become, and you just say, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, you call on the Lord. Oh, he is rich to those who call on his name. That is a wonderful way to take a big drink. It's to call on his name. He is rich to those who call on his name. Third way, make his deeds known among the people. So preach the gospel. Make his deeds known among the people. Another way, remind him that his name is exalted. Brother Bob, the Lord Jesus' name is exalted. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful way to drink water with rejoicing. And then singing psalms to Jehovah, just singing to the Lord, is a wonderful way to drink. For he has done something majestic, let it be made known in all the earth. Cry out and give a ringing shout. Sometimes, saints, you have to have a little breakthrough. You have to get outside yourself. You have to lose your face. You have to forget about yourself. And if this seems a little odd to you at first, I would recommend that you just do it in the car on the way to school where you're alone, right? And you could be there and you're just alone and you're in your car and just start calling on the Lord. And it says, give a ringing shout. Cry out and give a ringing shout. That's not, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. That's, Lord Jesus! Cry out and give a ringing shout. You will enjoy a river of living water. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Okay, last verse. Read it together. John 4:10. Jesus answered and said to her, If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So another practical way on how to enjoy God, ask him. Ask him. The Lord said to the Samaritan woman, if you would have asked him, he would have given you living water. It's really that easy, saints. The truth in the word is always very profound, but its application is always very simple. You know, we could just ask the Lord, Lord, give me a drink of this wonderful living water so that your eternal purpose could be fulfilled. Okay, so that concludes message one. I think we have a little bit of time to overflow. You have an opportunity to be blessed and to water all the saints who are here. Remember, he who waters will be watered himself. So I hope each one of you would be watered so you can stand up and share something that you enjoyed from the message.